Australia has hit a record high number of COVID-19 deaths for a single day. 77 people died in the latest reporting period. Nearly half of those were in New South Wales. But while experts assess that case numbers in this Omicron surge might have peaked, at least in some states, we're being warned it's not the peak of the deaths yet. And shortly we'll hear why failings in our COVID testing approach is making the picture and the prospects even murkier. It's health staff, of course, who have borne the brunt of the surges of illness this past 2 years, and they continue to be pushed to the brink in caring for patients, and soon private hospitals could be called on to step up with more support. Let's begin with this report from Dale Drinkwater.
It was a sombre start to the day for New South Wales.
Can I extend on behalf of the people of New South Wales our condolences and our thoughts and prayers and hearts go out to all those families who have lost a loved one at this time.
The state's Premier, Dominic Perrottet, announcing there were 36 deaths in a 24-hour period.
We can get focused on reporting the numbers. We shouldn't forget behind every one of those numbers is a loved one who may have passed away or somebody who's in hospital or in ICU and going through a very difficult time.
But the numbers are still stark. It was the country's deadliest day as 77 people died. The previous high was in September last year, when 59 deaths were recorded. The number of COVID deaths in Queensland are also up. The state's health minister is Yvette Darf.
Sadly, I'm reporting today 16 deaths as a result of COVID, the highest number that we have seen in a single day in Queensland since the pandemic started.
Nationally, there were fewer people admitted to hospital or intensive care units than the previous day. But again, New South Wales has most. Here's the New South Wales Chief Health Officer, Dr. Kerry Chant.
So there's currently 2,850 people in hospital, including 209 people in ICU, of whom 63 are ventilated and 9 are on special treatment called ECMO.
And those high numbers are continuing to put strain on the ability for health staff to do their jobs.
The staff are under intense fatigue. This has been going on for 2 years.
Dr. Mark Nichols is the president of the Australian New Zealand Intensive Care Society and a Sydney-based ICU doctor. He admits losing experienced staff to COVID could be a serious risk to the level of care critical patients receive.
Yeah, the level of care is good, but it's not perfect. What we have had to do is we've had to change the way we do things, and we've had to bring in staff into the intensive care under the supervision of critical care trained nurses and doctors to help look after the patients.
How hard is that to accept as a health professional?
Definitely not ideal, but these are challenging times. We are in a pandemic. The critical care nursing staff have a high level of expertise in looking after sick patients, and they have to supervise staff coming into the unit who don't have that expertise. So it does increase risk.
Maintaining a high level of care until someone's death is vital, according to geriatric oncologist and medical ethics expert Dr. Ranjana Srivastava. Her state of Victoria saw the second highest number of deaths at 22 people. But Dr. Srivastava argues that much more important than the number is the context in which deaths occur.
Something that is very close to my heart is ensuring that when somebody is at the end of life, that they're adequately cared for, that there is dignity, a lack of pain and a lack of suffering. And I think what many of us, as we watch people here and around the world who are dying, what comes to mind is when hospital systems are stressed, how are those people dying?
Staying on top of this as staff are run off their feet might remain a challenge. But late this afternoon, Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt announced new measures to ease that. Private hospitals could shortly be called on to take public patients. The federal government is reactivating an emergency provision that would see private hospitals providing services to public patients and intensive care capacity expanded.
It's a workforce which is skilled, planned, appropriate, and available.
It'll now be up to the states and territories to take up the offer.
Dale Drinkwater, our reporter there.